This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
مباركة يسن فيها الاكثار من الصلاة على سيدي ومولاي رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه من كل عمل صالح. It's the night of Jumu'ah. It's a blessed night and there's a lot of barakah in it, and the sunnah is to increase your salah upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in every good deed. Inshallah, I'll give the khatira, and after khatira, we ask people to pray sunnah, and then allow for me to continue the IDA lecture. So if you don't mind socializing in the lobby and the tent, jazakumullah khair, to allow me to continue, barakallahu feekum. And generally speaking, starting from next week, all of the IDA lectures will be happening after Isha anyways. So we have to get into the norm or a custom or habit of praying Isha sunnah, and then if you're not attending, allow the sheikh to give the lectures, so without too much noise, because we tend to like to chat and so on. Now we can use obviously the lobby and the tent that's available for that, inshallah ta'ala. So tonight I'm going to read two hadith, inshallah, from the chapter for Kitab al-Shama'il, Imam al-Tirmidhi, the chapter Bab ma ja'a fi sifati muzahi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Talking about his muzah. Muzah means that his joking, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is Imam Tirmidhi, so it's not like some new person who's trying to make a point. Alayhi salatu wasalam was someone who would often draw smiles on people's faces in the way that he spoke to them and how he spoke to them, alayhi salatu wasalam. But we'll start, inshallah, with these two hadith. They're quite short, so I'll narrate them for you, inshallah ta'ala. Qala, حدثنا عباس بن محمد الدوري قال حدثنا علي بن الحسن بن شقيق قال أنبأنا عبد الله بن المبارك عن أسامة بن زيد عن سعيد المقبري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قالوا يا رسول الله إنك تداعبنا. They said, oh Prophet of Allah, إنك تداعبنا. You joke around with us, you mess around with us. المداعبة is when someone jokes with you or is light, behaves lightly around you. That's muda'aba. So they said, they found it, some of the Sahaba found this a little bit new. They had not, he's Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the khayru khalqillah. He is the best of Allah's creation. He is the hamil al-liwa' yawm al-qiyamah. Huwa sajid tahta al-arsh. Huwa sayyidu waladi adam. Alayhi salatu wasalam carries all these accolades. And he would sit down and he would mess around with people and joke around with them and make them laugh. So they found it a little bit fresh. فَقَالُوا إِنَّكَ تُدَاعِبُنَا. As if they are, they're not objecting, but asking about it. This is normal. فَقَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَعَمْ إِنِّي لَا أَقُولُ إِلَّا حَقَّ. Said, yes, but I only say that which is truthful. I never lie, I never gossip, and I never say anything that is harmful to someone else, which is basically the conditions of joking. So the second hadith, which is why I'm reciting this. And obviously, as we do this, as we talk about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ajma'in, and he is our leader and he is our teacher, and we take from him everything, we learn from him everything, alayhi salatu wasalam, whether it's the way he joked or the way he spoke or it's the way he persevered and the way he stood his ground and the way he advocated for justice, and he advocated for those who are treated unfairly and those who are oppressed. It goes without saying that, subhanAllah, as we come close to the full year anniversary, I don't even know if the word anniversary is appropriate here, but the full year memory of what happened in October last year and what followed in terms of the blood spill and the bloodshed that we witnessed over this year, instead of seeing this coming to an end, we're seeing it spread in a different direction. And now our brothers and sisters in Lebanon are struggling. And when they struggle, the Syrians do as well. Most of my family, if not displaced in Europe, they're displaced somewhere around Beirut. And this, and who pays for all of this aggression and all of this world silence and world double standard that we witness? It's people. It's people who are like you and I, who carry our first names and many of them carry our last names, and they look very much like us, and they live and they have the same hopes and dreams in life, and they're living hoping to do something with them, and then they die, and then they just lose everything, or they wake up one day and half their family is gone, or their house is gone, or they can't live anymore. And this is not the first time this has happened. This has been happening for a long time. Yeah, if you just go back a couple of decades, if you just sit with an elderly person in their 70s or 80s, they remember this happening in other parts of the world. They remember it happening in Egypt and happening in Iraq and happening in Somalia and happening in Syria and happening in Lebanon back in one time before in Palestine for 75 years. They remember this is an ongoing saga of Muslims being mistreated in Kashmir and in Kosovo. And it just, the list goes on in Myanmar and in China. There's no end to this unfortunate list that we have of people suffering. So, when we see all of that, the reason that this is occurring is because these are supposed to serve as wake-up calls. They're supposed to serve as wake-up calls for an ummah that has lost its compass, for an ummah that has lost its way and has lost it and forgot who it was and what it represents. And the people who represent it don't know who they are anymore, don't understand their legacy, don't understand where they hail from, where they come from, what the point of their lives are supposed to be to begin with. So these ongoing tribulations that we see are there just to try and smack some sense into all of us, regardless of our age group or where we're living. And if that's not what they're doing, then it's lost on us, honestly. It becomes lost on us as a community. It becomes lost on us as individuals. If we see all this and it doesn't change anything in you, and you just continue to live life as if it didn't happen, that is the biggest loss of all. We can't control, unfortunately, how certain politicians behave and how the powers of this world behave. And we can't, you and I are not accountable for 300 years of a gap between the certain nations and our nation. I didn't contribute to 300 years of a technological, scientific, and organizational gap that exists between them and us. But I do contribute to the next 10, 15 years for sure. Like, I contribute to that, and so do you. We all contribute to the gap that is going to exist in the next 30 or 40 years. So the question is whether what's happening right now is motivating people to change their ways and start closing that gap, bridging it by educating themselves and contributing to the education of the Muslim Ummah and the unity of the Muslim Ummah and the awareness of the Muslim Ummah. And that's what he would have wanted, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I read about him here, but that's what he would have wanted. And I talk about him not because I have nothing else to do, because I want you to understand that he is the glue, alayhi salatu wasalam. He is the figure that we all come around. We don't agree on anyone else, honestly, like as an Ummah. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah agree on a lot of people. But as an Ummah, we agree on him, alayhi salatu wasalam. We all know that he is the ultimate leader, and he is the qudwa, and he is the person, and he is our idol, and he's our teacher, and we learn from him. And if we can just start being more like him, similar to him, caring about what he did and what he taught and what legacy he left, then we can turn things around, and there will be a better future for our children, a better future for the Muslim Ummah. It's just a matter of a little bit of giving up our egos and giving up maybe a little bit of the plans of leisure that we had, and focusing and committing ourselves to something that is bigger than ourselves, so that Yawm al-Qiyamah we have an argument to make. Because all about that, it's all about just making the argument Yawm al-Qiyamah. Because I can sit down and read about him, alayhi salatu wasalam, make you love him, but if you did not follow him and you did not contribute to his ummah, then he won't be too impressed, alayhi salatu wasalam. He won't be too impressed if we did not contribute to the well-being of his ummah, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's where his heart is. His heart is in his ummah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we read about him so that we can love him more, so that we can motivate ourselves to care about what he cared about, alayhi salatu wasalam, which is this nation, for better or for worse. فقال حدثنا إسحاق بن منصور قال حدثنا عبد الرزاق قال حدثنا معمر عن ثابت عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه أن رجلا من أهل البادية كان اسمه زاهرا. So Anas ibn Malik tells us in this authentic hadith that there was a man from al-Badiyah, a Bedouin man, who had chickens and sheep and cows and whatnot, and he would come to the city and sell some of that stuff. And he knew the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would come from even before, and he was a Muslim. وكان يدعى زاهرا. His name was Zahir. وكان يهدي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هدية من البادية. He always brought a gift to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Aside from what the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would buy or other people would, he would always offer the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام a gift. فيجهزه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يخرج. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he would never gift him except he gifted you back, like on the spot and more. You gave him one, he gave you five. It's just how he was, عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would refuse for you to gift him, and then he would bring the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام a small gift, and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would prepare him. يجهزه. Maybe when he's going back to the Badia, going back to the countryside, he took with him clothing, he took with him a camel. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام took care of him. وكان يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم إن زاهرا باديتنا ونحن حاضروه. Zahir is our countryside, and I am his city. نحن ذا حاضر. So when he comes to the city, he has me. When I go to the countryside, I have him. صلى الله عليه وسلم. أجمعين. It was a nice way to kind of make him. قال وكان يحبه وكان رجلا دميما. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام loved him, and he was an ugly man. And I'm saying it because that's the wording in the Shahih al-Tirmidhi, and I don't have to really sugarcoat it, because the word is damim, and damim means ugly. There's really no other meaning for it in the Arabic language. The guy was ugly. He didn't, yani, he wasn't a sight to look at. But the Prophet ﷺ loved him, and there was a good relationship between him and between the two of them. And Anas, yani, pointed this out because there's a point of this story that yani he wants to make. قال فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يوما وهو يبيع متاعه. The Prophet ﷺ came to him one day as he is selling his stuff. Like he gave the Prophet ﷺ his gift. The Prophet ﷺ gifted him back. Then he goes and stands in the market and he starts to sell yani cheese and milk and whatever else and eggs and whatever he has. He's selling. And the Prophet ﷺ comes to him as he's selling. قال فأحضنه من خلفه وهو لا يبصره. So the Prophet ﷺ came and he came and he hugged him from behind him and he could not see him. So Zahir is selling and then he finds someone who puts his hands around his torso and he hugs him, right? Yeah, Middle Eastern middle aged men don't like that. In case you didn't notice, yani. It's not their thing, hugging, yani. At least it wasn't at that point. فَقَالَ مَنْ هَذَا. So he said, who is this? أَرْسِلْنِي. Let me go. What are you doing? What is this? فَالْتَفَتَ. So he turned around with his head. فَعَرَفَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He knew it was the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. He didn't notice at first. Like, who is this? Let me go. He looks back. It's the Prophet صلى الله عليه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Lucky him. What can you say? Yeah. قال فَجَعَلَ لَا يَأْلُو مَا أَلْصَقَ ظَهْرَهُ بِصَدْرِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حِينَ عَرَفَهُ. And then when he recognized the Prophet, he held his hands and he pushed his back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام's chest, keeping himself in contact with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام once he noticed it was him. وجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول من يشتري هذا العبد. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, who's saying, who will buy this slave from me? Who will buy this slave from me? صلى الله عليه وسلم أجمعين. فقال يا رسول الله إذا والله تجدني كاسدا. If you try to sell me as a slave, you'll find me worthless. Like, no one will buy me. Look at me. That's why Anas said this. Like, look at, who's gonna buy me? There's nothing attraction. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the Prophet ﷺ left him and he turned him around. فقال لكنك عند الله لست بكاسد. أنت عند الله غالي. Said, as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's opinion of you are not worthless. You are very valuable in the eyes of Allah. صلى الله عليه وسلم أجمعين. He joked and joked, but then when he felt, oh, okay, there's something here that's not, this is not a joke anymore. No, you're not worthless. And no, you never say that about yourself. And never feel that about yourself. No, you are valuable. And you are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I didn't mean it that way. As if the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was joking, this went in a direction he was not happy with anymore. The direction was no longer what he wanted alayhi salatu wasalam. It went in a direction where this man felt for a moment, maybe less about himself than he should have when he had that interaction with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he walks away from this interaction with the best testimony a human being could walk away from any interaction for the rest of his life. Imagine this man living his life saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam hugged me and told me you are valuable in the eyes of Allah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It's a beautiful story and it tells you a lot about his character, alayhi salatu wasalam, and how he saw people. And how he took life lightly and he liked to joke, but he always was sensitive to people's feelings and sensitive to people's yani perspectives. And he felt that maybe there was a perspective in this that wasn't healthy or something that he did not want someone to feel. He would correct it immediately, alayhi salatu wasalam, because the point of a joke was never to harm. And I just find that to be yani the act of someone of a very high yani high level of compassion. Oh, yani, I hope that was a benefit. يروي الإمام الترمذي في جامعه بسند صحيح عن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال أن رجلا من أهل البادية كان اسمه زاهرا وكان يهدي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم هدية من البادية فيجهزه النبي إذا أراد أن يخرج. فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إن زاهرا باديتنا ونحن حاضروه. وكان صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يحبه وكان رجلا دميما. فأتاه النبي يوما وهو يبيع متاعه فاحتضنه من خلفه وهو لا يبصره. فقال من هذا أرسلني. فالتفت فعرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فجعل لا يألو ما ألصق ظهره بصدر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حين عرفه. وجعل النبي يقول من يشتري هذا العبد. فقال يا رسول الله إذا والله تجدني كاسدا. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم لكن عند الله لست بكاسد أنت عند الله غالي. صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.